Good afternoon. It's KX93.5. This is What's on Tap for your Black Friday. And we're drinking black cold brew coffee with Stumptown today. I have Straub Distributing with us and people from Stumptown as well. First of all, Bill, how are you doing? Bill, you're with Stumptown.
Yep, doing great. Doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Art?
How are you doing?
You're back.
I am. Now,
it's good to see you.
On the non-beer tip.
On the non-beer tip, because yes, we're drinking coffee.
Awesome coffee.
Awesome coffee. We also have Ryan and Heather from Stumptown.
How's it going?
Well, how are you? Getting nice and close to the microphone.
Hey, thanks for having us.
My pleasure, because I love coffee. So, and then we have Jim in the far corner, who's not a coffee guy, but actually seems to like what he's drinking right now.
I am not a coffee person by nature, but I like this little coffee and milk brew that we've got here. Very tasty.
We'll talk about that product in a second, too,
okay.
But he's enjoying it. So, Heather, tell me a little bit about Stumptown, your origins. How long have you guys been operating?
So Stumptown's been around for about 15 years. We're originally from Portland, Oregon, and we just came into the Southern California market about a year ago. So we've got roasteries in Portland, Seattle, New York, and LA is the newest portion of the family.
So you guys are already in New York. People out there would be familiar with you.
Oh, yeah. We have great business out in New York, and we've got about 9 cafes, so a lot of people visit our cafes.
You guys have your own cafes. I did not realize that.
Yeah,
that's really
do.
Cool. Are they only in Portland and New York? Or
they're all centralized around our roasteries. So we've got 2 in Seattle, a couple in Portland, a couple in New York, and just 1 in L.A. right now.
And where's the one in L.A.?
It's at 806 South Santa Fe, downtown in the Arts District.
See, if anyone wants to go stalk and cross the orange curtain.
It's over the 10 freeway, so I don't know if people will come.
It's like on the other side of the train tracks.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's across the train tracks, across the train tracks.
The good news is if crime was to take place, you'd be highly caffeinated and be able to run very quickly.
We'd be on lockdown.
So, you know, we could talk about Stumptown a lot, but let's, for those who, you know, don't, know much about cold brew. Let's talk about cold brew coffee a little bit, and then we'll talk about the company. I know cold brew quite well. If you listen to What's on Tap frequently, you probably heard me geek out about it before. But if for those who are listening for the first time, tell us what Stumptown does, how they brew their coffee, and what cold brew is.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, cold brew is something that a lot of people have, but Stumptown's been doing it for a long time as well. We start with the highest quality coffee that we source through Stumptown specifically. And we grind it really coarse, and we let it sit for between 12 to 15 hours in cold water. So it's a lower acid product than if it was in hot brew or hot water. And it's also, you know, really smooth and really chocolatey, and it's a great product.
A little sweeter, less acidic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, if most people at home, you know, they're thinking about how you would make coffee, you know, they picture hot water going over grinds, going through, pouring out, but I suppose you'd say cold brewing is almost kind of more akin to like a tea making process in a sense, because it kind of steeps, right?
Yeah, it steeps in the cold water for the long period of time. So it actually also pulls out a lot of the caffeine, but that's not the good part of it.
Right.
But it's a really smooth product when it sits in that cold water like that.
Very much. And you can have, I think one thing that people forget too is that, you know, even if you prefer hot coffee, you know, if you have cold brew coffee at home, you can still warm it up and have a hot coffee product. I mean, do people do that with Stumptown, or is that something people more do with stuff that they brew at home?
Warming cold brew, you mean?
Yeah, warming cold brew.
Oh, yeah, you can warm it up. It's a lower acid product.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a little different than your hot coffee, but it's definitely possible.
I've had hot coffee from cold brew,
yeah.
And I much prefer it. I mean, it's a little smoother, a little sweeter, but you know, sometimes it's cold in the morning and you just don't want something
cold.
Yeah,
totally.
So you guys, when did you start in Portland?
So we started 15 years ago. November is our 15-year anniversary. Dwayne Sorensen started it up in Portland, Oregon in 99. And we were in a tiny little house, and we've just grown bigger and bigger with time. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that, you know, I guess it isn't altogether surprising, but I guess one might assume that something like this would have started in Seattle, but you started in Portland and then worked your way up.
Yeah.
Was that your second market that you guys went after?
Yeah, Seattle was definitely the second spot that we landed. Portland really has a lot of homegrown, like DIY type stuff. Dwayne actually came from Seattle and he was working up there and moved down to Portland and started Stumptown after various other jobs and things like that. But He's kind of crazy about quality. He's crazy about having the best ingredients. He's got other restaurants and things like that that he's done up in Portland, but Stumptown has definitely kind of taken shape and grown a lot.
So what is it about Stumptown's processes and the ingredients you use? I mean, what are some examples that make the cold brew from Stumptown, you know, stand out from everything else? I think you guys were saying that you have your own water filtration systems. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're pretty meticulous about every bit of ingredients that goes into this product.
Well, so. It's a lot of water.
Yeah, that's true. As far as, like, the water goes, we're just... right now we're cold brewing with the water from the glacial runoff in Portland, Oregon. So that's beautiful, you know, ice cold, crystal clean Oregon water. But, you know, down in Southern California, if you want to brew whole bean coffee, we do a lot of water filtration, softening, things like that. But as far as it relates to cold brew, you know, like I said, we are really meticulous about sourcing our products. So we source coffee from all over the world. We primarily source it in South America, East Africa, Indonesia. Those are our three main regions. Each of those regions have very specific flavor profiles that kind of they bring with them because of the terroir and, you know, the way they're processed and things like that.
Terroir?
Yeah. So yes. The kind of environment that they're grown in. So
okay. Know,
coffee is an agricultural product. It's actually the seed of a cherry, even though people think it's a bean. It's not a legume. It's the seed of a cherry, and it's, you know...
Well, it's the coffee fruit, right? So, I mean,
right. It's off of a coffee tree, and it's all hand-picked and hand-sorted. We pick it, our farmers pick it at the peak of ripeness. So right when it's red, the blood of the bull, they call it sangre del toro, and that's when they pick the coffee. So we only buy stuff that's been hand-picked and hand-sorted and kind of meticulously grown, and that's where we kind of start the process of having the best quality coffee that we can possibly source.
Well, you brought in some beans today, and I mean, first of all, I mean, the packaging on it is pretty cool, because I mean, it's a nice little brown bag, but then it has like a almost like a business card insert that tells you the name of the coffee blend and where it was sourced from and all that.
Right.
So, I mean, the presentation's really quite nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we wanted to do that so that, you know, the customer could really understand where their coffee comes from. We're really big on kind of the farm to cup process. You've heard of farm to table, you know, where you source the ingredients, you know the farmer that grew it, you know it's super high quality because it's so traceable, things like that. So we do that with coffee just like you would with a farm to table. So when you read the back of our Stumptown cards, it talks about our farmers, it talks about some of their processes. One of the coffees I brought in for you is the Guatemala El Injerto Bourbon. And those farmers have been farming coffee on their land since 1905.
Wow.
Yeah, and they've passed down their, you know, processes through the generations to the sons. And they're really supporting a whole ecosystem, you know, down there, essentially.
And, I mean, unfortunately, listeners at home can't look at what I'm looking at. But, I mean, when I say that this card is detailed, I mean, you know, it's got a map of the country, the elevation at which it was grown.
Right.
Varietal, it says bourbon. What does that mean?
It's bourbon, actually. That's the type of plant.
Whoops.
I know. It's a common mistake. People are like, yes, there's bourbon in this coffee.
I got told right there.
You can definitely put bourbon in the coffee. Oh, yeah. We do not discourage that. But
wait until after.
Yeah, right. That should be your evening cup of coffee, not your morning, but to each their own. So bourbon is just one of the varietals of the plant. It's kind of like if you think of, I don't know, heirloom tomatoes or roses. They have different types of roses, different types of tomatoes, but they're all in the tomato category.
It says flavors, plum, dark chocolate, orange, and grapefruit notes complement this buttery structured cup supported by honey and brown sugar sweetness.
Ooh, yes, delicious.
Which sounds delicious once it's once it's been steeping for 16 hours.
Yeah, yeah. That one is actually one of the ones that we brew hot, but it would be so delicious as a cold brew. We're really interested in direct trade sourcing. We're some of the people that have really brought direct trade into the forefront. Direct trade meaning that we work directly with our farmers to increase their quality of their coffee and work with them to kind of make sure that they're hitting quality standards and marks all the way along the process. And so this farm specifically has done a lot of improvements to their farm and kind of like worked with us. And we've worked in partnership to deliver some of the best quality coffee that they can get out of that land. So that one's actually more expensive price per pound.
Well, you know.
But But, you know, some of our blends are a little bit more medium range.
Well, you know, and plus you do get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's a really interesting point that you're talking about, you know, where these farmers come from. Because if you go into a grocery store and you buy whatever brand of whole bean coffee, you know, it'll say something like, you know, Kenya this or,
right.
you know, and so, it, well, great. But what does that mean? You know, you don't really know much. So,
yeah.
you know, I that's really cool. I mean, it's I'm at a loss for words suddenly,
yeah.
but you just, you know, it's
each region of the world brings its own flavor profile to the mix. So, you know, like in South America, you get a lot of brightness, you get certain mouthfeel from the coffee versus like Africa, East Africa, you might get more tea-like and more stone fruit types of flavor profiles off of that coffee. It has to do with where it was raised, what varietal it was from in the plant, as well as how they processed the coffee after they picked it. And so, you know, knowing that you have a Kenya coffee that you just purchased, you can expect certain flavor profiles off of that coffee versus like an Indonesian that might be more peppery or might be more earthy.
So, one last question about the beans.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. One thing that I have, an idea I've championed in terms of education, for coffee, when I've done my segment and I've talked with Howard, you know, most people think, it's Friday morning, I'm tired, I'm going to get that, you know, super dark roast, because they think that it has more caffeine,
right.
but it has less caffeine because you lose caffeination as a bean is roasted. So what sort of beans do you use in terms of the strength?
Yeah, common misconception is that, you know, the darker the roast, the more caffeine is in it. But really that roast, what you're doing is you're heating up that bean, and essentially, eventually, with the darker you roast it, the more you replace the bean molecule with carbon. So, you know, as just like when you burn anything. So the lighter you roast your coffee, the more caffeine is left in it. So it may not have that strong, roasty, toasty flavor profile, but you are going to feel it kick in pretty good.
Very much so.
You start sweating and shaking.
I'm always just like, give me a nice house blend or mild something or Jim.
Yeah, I was going to ask you on the beans. So then the beans are specifically sourced with the intention of being a cold brewed final product bean, right?
Well, so yeah, we've got the beans that we specifically source for cold brew, as well as beans that we specifically source for brewing hot. Some of those may cross over depending upon what season it is. But, you know, like our Hairbender blend that we have here, it's our flagship roast. And those, that's actually blended specifically to be espresso. And it's great for brewed coffee in the drip format as well. But, you know, for espresso, it's got this chocolatey, rich, kind of orange peel flavor to it. And that's blended specifically for that. So each bean, you know, and each blend and everything is meticulously kind of like organized for what it's going to become.
there are a few different flavors. There's the original, the nitro product, and then the single origin. The single origin for the last couple of times have been the Ethiopian, right?
You're talking about cold brew?
Yeah, cold brew, yeah.
Yeah.
Ethiopian, Chalbessa, and the Duramina.
Yeah, so that's like if we jumped over to cold brew on draft, there's three different types of cold brews on draft.
So. Which is still a really odd concept to me.
Yeah.
You guys have coffee on draft.
Yeah, you want to talk about cold brew a little bit first?
Yeah, let's talk about the nitro and whatnot.
So we've got a couple of different types of cold brew. We've got cold brew in the stubbies, which most people know.
The bottles.
Yeah, stubbies are glass bottles that, you know, they kind of have a dark brown look on the outside with gold lettering. And then we've got the cold brew with milk that's slightly sweetened.
Which is what Jim and I are enjoying right now.
Brian, hold the bottle for the radio, folks.
Yeah, right. If you can see it.
Right. That looks like chocolate milk.
It does look like a little bit of chocolate milk. It's got that old throwback steeple top carton that's delicious, makes it easy for chugging.
I pity the mom that gives this to their child thinking that it's just chocolate.
It's like the old milk cartons from elementary school.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they'll only do that once when their kids bounce off the walls at 9:30 at night. They'll go, okay, won't do that again.
9:30.
Yikes.
Right.
Yeah. So the cold brew with milk and sugar, milk and slightly sweetened has been a pretty cool product. It's also like a lot of people are using them as kind of after workout replenishment drinks. You know, the Oregon Ducks are doing that. A couple other sports teams are doing
a little
bit
of protein with the milk and caffeine. I can see that.
Recovery drink. But then you go into something really exciting, which is our cold brew on draft that Bill was referencing. And that's our cold brew literally in a beer tap format. So you can push it through the beer tap.
Which is what we've been drinking for the most part over the last year, year and a half, hour and a half.
Yes.
It feels like a year.
No, sometimes it's nice to have to set up a working
tap.
A cold brew. Yeah, tap.
It's literally poured on nitrogen, actually.
Yeah, they came in here about an hour beforehand, and we've been trying it out, and it's really fascinating.
It was interesting watching them set the whole process up and all the machinery, just all the different pieces.
It's basically a portable draft system.
Yeah.
We call it a concoction. Yeah.
A concoction.
But instead of beer coming out of it, it's cold brewed coffee.
Yeah.
Right. So there's three different types. There's the original. It's real similar to what's in the stubby bottle that people love to enjoy. The nitro, which comes out of a tap and basically has a frothy kind of foamy way of pouring into the cup, and then it cascades into this lovely head on top, just like a Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
If you can envision what a Guinness looks like. Yeah. It makes it really creamy in mouthfeel.
It was very creamy.
Yeah, and it kind of enhances those chocolatey kind of notes. And then the single origin cold brew on draft is cool because it comes from a single farm or a single basically a single farm, which affects the flavor profile of what we're talking about, you know, the coffee. So right now, like Bill said, it's an Ethiopian and it's a Chelbessa, which has a lot of honeysuckle notes on it, has a lot of like floral, tea-like.
Floral.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, delicate cup of cold brew for sure.
I actually had a question just because I've been getting a retailer. This is Art Gonzalez, but
hi, Art.
Hey.
He usually is the one who's doing the most talking because he's the beer geek. But he's just having. We're sorry that you feel left out today.
Actually, a couple questions. For the cold brew in the bottle or even on draft, are you guys going to be doing different flavors,
or blended
flavors of cold brew?
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff on the horizon for sure. I don't know if I'm at liberty to mention it yet.
Okay. We won't tell anybody. We just our listening audience.
You're just like Sarah McLachlan. You're building a mystery.
And then my other question is been intriguing to me. It's just because me being, you know, the beer geek, and you know, just in through the grapevines of the beer geek or the beer community, I'm hearing. That some people their coffee beans. I don't know if you guys are gonna be doing this in the future or if you guys know anything about it, but I've been hearing coffee beans being aged in bourbon barrels.
Oh yeah, that's a fun process. No, we don't do that.
Oh okay. I was blown away when I first seen it. I was like, oh, that's it's interesting. I'm more into the bourbon barrel aged beers, but when I seen that, I was thought about.
I think that works better in a alcohol format. You know, as far as it relates to coffee, we're really crazy about freshness. So, you know, we source the beans from some of the best farms in the world. And then once we roast it, we are serious about freshness. So every bag of coffee has a roast date on the bottom. And it also, you can always check when that was roasted. And usually it's like within not too long. I mean, it's usually within 2 weeks. Aging the coffee is not really a great idea.
Oh, okay. I don't know how they do it. I was cruising through the blogs and beer blogs and there was a some brewery that was doing coffee roasting and aging them in barrels. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Yep. But how long is a bag good for?
Well, I mean, we like to say that you should consume it within 2 weeks. That's kind of the window that we're looking for. So within 2 weeks of that roast date, it's the best quality. It's never going to go bad. It's never going to be like, you know, moldy or something, but that's just kind of the sweet spot.
Does it create like some sort of like bland flavor or?
Yeah, I mean, the flavor just degrades with time for sure. You'll never see something on the shelf from us like 9 months later. And, you know, if you go to your grocery store and you turn over the bag and you look at the roast date and it says Best Buy, you know, January 2020, you're like, no, that's probably not great coffee.
Yeah, so. And Heather really means what she's saying, because I'm looking at the roast date on the two bags that she brought in, and they're November 12th and November 20th, respectively. So, I mean, we're talking about within the last 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah. Or yesterday, yes.
Right.
Yeah, one of them was yesterday, so.
Well, is that because basically once the product's, once your product out, you're basically fighting oxidation from the first second it hits the air, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All the coffee lovers at home right now, they're dying because they want to say, but wait, can I freeze my beans if I'm not going to use them?
Don't freeze your coffee. Come on, people. Give it a break. No, keep it ambient as best as you can, because what you're doing, there's a lot of different things happening inside of that one little coffee bean. And there's oils in there that when you cool them up and heat them, you know, and cool them up, it's just going to degrade that flavor. I know that it was kind of an old school technique to try and freeze it to lock that freshness in, but it's definitely not the way to go.
So if someone's looking at a coffee bean, are there any physical characteristics that they'd be able to see in terms of quality or freshness?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you look at a coffee bean and you see that it's like pushing all of its oils out, you see a lot of those greasy kind of hoppers. That's not what you want. You want all those oils to stay inside of that bean until it's ground so that it goes, all that delicious flavor goes right in your cup.
So if they get a bag from Costco or whatever and the beans look oily, they've not the greatest.
They've over roasted it. And basically what that coffee bean is doing is just pushing its oils out.
You see a lot of that when you walk into some of the grocery stores and they have their beans exposed. Mm-hmm. You can see them and you grab them and they're all oily and such. And that's not good at all.
Right. You know, I was at a high-end market that I will not name, but the other week, and you know, they had some decent coffees out, and they're not cheap coffees, but they're just out in big barrels, you know?
Yeah, that's brave. mean, you never know.
You heard it here.
Brave for them or brave for the consumer to try those?
Or a little bit of both?
All of the above, right. Yeah. I mean, we're not against like bulk coffees in that format necessarily, but yeah, I mean, there's people walking by and there's air on it and stuff like that. So it's
people's
a brave.
Hands are in those barrels.
Well, I guess Bill's hands are in those barrels because he knows they're greasy.
Bill, do you wash your hands, Bill?
All the time.
But I'll go back
before
to
before or after.
Something that Art asked me about, which is our cold brew. For the milk cold brew that's slightly sweetened, we also have one for the holiday season that's called Winter Cheer. And basically what we did is we cold brewed the coffee along with mulling spices. So you're familiar with like mulled wine.
Right.
And it's got allspice, star anise, some orange peel, things like that. And it was cold brewed into the coffee and then it was slightly sweetened and milk was added. And so it tastes like Christmas in your mouth. So through this holiday season, it's pretty good. So you can look for that in your grocery section.
Two questions. You ever thought of doing that with eggnog?
Sure. Why not? Okay. I mean, buy the cold brew and throw some eggnog in it. I don't know that we'll be doing that. I know that on the horizon, we will be having a cold brew with chocolate milk.
Ah, woo.
So, yeah.
Gosh, that might almost get me to drink coffee. But speaking of high-end markets, where can we find your products?
Oh, so some of the best places to find it would be Whole Foods, any of your local Whole Foods. You can find them at Mother's Markets, and you can find them at
Gelson's,
and there are some other local ones.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Well, you guys were saying a lot of local liquor stores as well, right?
Local liquor stores for the cold brew, yes. But for the whole bean, we have a lot of little cafes locally around here, Newport Coffee Company.
Sidecar Donuts.
Hotcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Good place for breakfast. Anaheim.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have one question just to circle back on something that you guys were mentioning maybe 5-10 minutes ago. The hot Stumptown. Do you guys only serve that in your cafes? Is that where someone would be able to try it out?
No, there's definitely some great spots to try it out in Orange County.
Okay, so there are people that will serve it warm that are like independent parties.
Yes, definitely. So like we mentioned, Hotcakes is a great
spot. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't.
No, totally. They also do cold brew. I think that's where the confusion was. And then Newport Coffee Company down on the peninsula in Newport Beach, they've got the hot coffee, and they're doing espresso as well. So that's fun.
Whole Foods Market in Tustin actually brews it and puts it out with all the local coffee companies they have out there. They'll brew it, so they're very supportive of us. So yeah, good stuff.
If you guys ever want to try it on draft, there's a place in Anaheim, right?
Yeah, Ink and Bean in Anaheim.
Anaheim, the old town draft. Part of Anaheim. You know, that's
Newport
pretty much the only
coffee,
place.
Yeah,
I stop by pretty much every other morning to have my little bump of the cold brew on draft.
The donut bar in Fountain Valley has gigantic donuts along with our cold brew on draft, and you can ask them to mix it with chocolate milk.
Is it an actual bar that serves donut and coffee? Donuts and coffee?
When you said gigantic.
It's a donut.
Because I would be Norm at that bar.
Yeah. it's an actual donut store that brews bourbon with their donuts. That's their thing. Jim Beam and they, you know, when they bake it, it, you know, extracts all the alcohol out of it, obviously. But yeah, their donuts are huge. You can,
what's it called,
you
know, big donut?
It's, this donuts are, you could cut in half and four ways and split with four people. They're mm-hmm. awesome.
You company. Said big donut. It reminded me of that Simpsons episode where Homer's just that gigantic donut, and he's just kind of like
eating
himself through the whole episode.
They make birthday donuts, like birthday cakes.
It's it's Stumptown's birthday month.
Yeah. It is.
There you go.
Birthday month. You remember that?
Yeah. Birthday month. Right. Yes. We went over that before.
Actually, our 15-year birthday.
Hey.
And a 1-year birthday in LA for our roastery.
So now, is there any plan? Oh, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off. Is there any plans to open a facility down in Orange County?
Like not a cafe? In the works right now, but never say never.
Okay.
Get to drink in the Stump Town, and then maybe that'll change.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of great places around here you can get it, but I don't know if we'll be down here necessarily.
Fair enough. Let's take a quick break and listen to a song. We have more Stump Town. I know we've got a we've got Jake hiding in the background, so we can talk with him in a bit. And we'll talk to Jim and Art about what they think about the products and more Stumptown goodness ahead. It's What's on Tap on KX93.5. We're going to get into a song that I'm quite fond of. I used it in my King of the Beach contest earlier this week. It's Borns, a Michigan artist who's moved out to L.A., just released his first EP on the Interscope label. The song's called Electric Love. It's KX93.5. What's on Tap continues in just a few moments. KX93.5. We're back with What's on Tap and Stumptown Brewing. Jake, you're hiding back there. You need Jake to come join
Jake in the back. Jake in the back.
Jake in the box. Jake in the back.
Jake in the back.
Jake, what do you do with Straub Distributing, and how are you involved with Stumptown?
Bill and I are actually the only two people at Straub who solely focus on Stumptown. We're the guys that go in. We take the orders. We write orders for grocery accounts. We deliver it. And we're the two guys that make sure that everything is
tries
fresh.
Smooth.
Yeah. That's why you're the encyclopedia of where everything's being sold right now.
Exactly. We are the guys out there on our feet getting it done and making sure that every single one of our customers can have the freshest product that they can.
So actually, that's a question I didn't think of earlier. We were talking about the freshness of the beans, but you know, with like your stubbies, I don't have one in front of me right now. I think it's on the other side. But is there an expiration date? I mean, what's the freshness level on that?
Our expiration on those is 90 days, and then we're talking about our cold brew with milk with the cane juice. That's about a 2-week shelf life.
It's got milk. Yeah,
but it moves just as fast as the stubbies off the shelves. It's a pretty popular product right now. It tastes pretty good with vodka. I've had that at home. I enjoyed my stubbies with a little half and half with a stout of some sort. So there's many different uses for sure.
I'm sure it'd go.
A lot of CrossFit gyms are adding cold brew to their protein shakes. And
that's what you were saying off air a bit ago, yeah.
There's just so many different uses. I've been debating. I made some brats last night, but I used a can of Guinness instead of I forgot I wanted to use some Stumptown. I'm going to do that next time for sure.
All of our stubbies are etched with a freshness date.
Okay.
So you can, it's laser etched into the bottle of, in the bottom of the bottle, excuse me. And so
there's
you
no
can,
label on the bottles. It's printed on.
Yeah,
it's all pretty.
Yeah, it's laser etched into the glass. So you can always check that your stubby's super fresh.
Which it will be, of course.
Of course. Yeah, and they need to stay refrigerated at all times. So if there's ever, if you ever buy one, either consume it right away or throw it in your fridge.
I noticed that because there were some Stumptowns at our Festival of Music with the Beach Boys. I guess, that was like 2 months ago now.
Right, yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, I noticed that. You know, it didn't say keep refrigerated. And I was like, oh, you know. But yeah. Then if you're making toddy at home, you keep it in the fridge too. So
yeah, it's not a microbial growth issue. It's not going to get moldy, like I said, but it will kind of degrade in flavor, so it'll get a little bit sour. And what we're looking for here is like a nice, smooth, chocolatey finish. So if you ever get a stubby that tastes sour, God forbid, it probably was just warm. It won't kill you. It was just at some point it was warm.
Some store was not taking proper care and love of the stubby. That's
oh,
all.
Heaven
quality
forbid.
Control.
Gotta give it. No, I'm not gonna go there.
Okay. Art.
Yeah. No. I had a question though.
Please.
You know, me going back to my.
Beer roots.
Beer oats or my beer roots. I did try a beer that you guys did a collaboration with, right?
Right. We did a collaboration with Ninkasi Brewing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That was one of the beers I tried not too long ago, one of my buddies who is a Ninkasi rep. He came up to me and he was, he gave me a bottle of it and he was like, hey, you guys carry Stumptown. I'd like for you to try this beer, which was a collaboration with the Stumptown Cold Brew, which it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
that was a
beer.
That was a limited edition beer. Apparently, it was amazing. I didn't even get to try it.
That's how we roll, you know. people come up.
Straub has the beer hookups.
Ninkasi was so proud of it, they put it on their website that they sent out to everybody, and they blew up Stumptown like crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.
Good for them.
I heard there's a few more collaborations with Stumptown coming in the near future, too.
Yes, hopefully.
So you were mentioning sports teams, like using this as like post-workout sort of fuel. I coffee doesn't have many calories. I assume that this is the same with your stubbies.
Yeah, so this is basically a great way to get a big boost of energy without any of the chemicals or things that might be in an energy drink. There's no dyes, obviously, things like that. The stubbies, I think, have like 3 calories in them just because that's like it's just water and coffee.
Right.
And then the cold brew with milk that's slightly sweetened only has 200 calories per 16 ounces. Which actually is great for
it's a generous size.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
16 ounces is a lot of cold brew.
Yeah.
So when you're drinking that, I think it's a full meal. You get your coffee, your protein, calcium. What else do you need?
It's like I could have coconut water or I could have cold brew and milk. I'm gonna go for the latter.
For sure. So
Art, you're the beer guy. I mean, the Nitro, it's obviously coming off tap. You know, what are your thoughts? I mean, it's obviously not beer, but...
Here's one thing that I know about this, about the cold brew is there's two versions of it. One is just it comes out of a, like a regular faucet. One comes out of a stout faucet, but they're actually both poured with nitrogen.
Oh.
Because if you don't, it'll give it somewhat of, from what I've been told, a kind of an off flavor of a kind of soy saucy, I guess.
If yeah, it's you not, can't do beer gas with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you have to use both of them on nitrogen.
Hmm.
But both of them, I mean, obviously, they're the mouthfeel on them is a lot much different than, you know, a beer. Because you get that kind of creamy, more mouthfeel to it. But I do know both of them are poured on nitrogen gas. But one is poured with a regular beer faucet. The other one is poured with the nitro faucet.
Yeah, the nitro faucet's cool because, I mean, Art, maybe you can help me with this one, but it's cutting the nitrogen as the product's pouring through, and that's why you get that lovely
it has a creamer plate that actually that cuts the beer down as it's going and it's being poured into the glass, which makes it cascade like... any nitrogenated beer does. And then I run across this all the time. Everyone always says, like, they always feel that nitro is there. Like, they always like, kind of refer back to Guinness. You know, they're mm-hmm. like, oh, like a Guinness. No, it's a nitrogenated beer. There is a lot of other great beers out there that are poured on nitro. Coffee poured on nitro. So don't, you know, for people out there, don't always assume that, you know, or referred to as a, you know, nitrogenated product like Guinness. I mean, there's IPAs, there's like Boddington's out there, which is English pale, you know, English, you know, pale ale. You know, some of the microbrews now are doing IPAs on nitro. It's just the way they're, you know, the way they're
so
they're,
delicious.
I'm
pretty sure none of us are as knowledgeable in beer as you, so that's probably why we say Guinness all the time. But you're bringing up some really delicious beers for sure.
And, you know, it's funny because when I was watching it pour, I was just like, it really just looks like a dark beer coming out,
yeah.
You know?
Especially when you watch it start settling in the glass there, yeah.
Yeah.
Cascading.
What I love about the cold brew on draft is that it's got, like, basically you can drink it any time of day. You can drink it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know? You can drink it as your, like, party drink, basically.
Perfect,
you know,
before bed.
Yeah. Or before not going to bed, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, so, like, for brunch or for whatever, there's just day parts for it all day long. So, you know, if you don't want to go to work having drank nitro beer, you can go to work having drank your nitro coffee.
No, I was to this day, I remember the first day Bill introduced me to nitro coffee. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna go out and about and pedal some coffee." I'm like, "All right." Took me down to this place in Anaheim called Ink and Bean, and I was in awe. I was like, "It's like beer." But it's out of a faucet. I am the same thing even when my daughter, she's a huge coffee geek, like huge. And I go, "Hey, I'm going to take you to this place, you know, over here and, you know, kind of show you, you know, this coffee." And when I took her there, she just like was looking at me, you know, looking at the faucet, and she's like thinking it's like beer. She's like, "Dad, you brought me to this place to have beer." And I'm like, "No, it's coffee." Now she is
the dad of the
year
award.
She is hooked. I actually a store right by her where she lives, they actually carry Stumptown now. She goes there about a couple times a week now and picks up bottles, where she's just like, she loves it.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that is,
I mean,
awesome.
That's solid point. You know, it's great for the underage kids too.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't drink beer, drink coffee.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
On nitro.
And you can still feel cool with that little stubby in your hand. I mean, not that we encourage it, but, you know.
Pinkies up.
You can feel cool.
Pinkies up.
And you're legal. And you're being completely legal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it took him about half a day when Art and I drove around. It took him about half a day to where he caught on, and he, you know, the latter part of the day, he's like, "Hey, we have to go here. Hey, we have to go here." He named off about four or five places. He nailed a few placements, and he was just all over the place.
One of the things I love that Straub's been doing is actually loading up their beer vans with the Stumptown kegs and driving around Orange County sampling people. So, like, we rolled up on the Oakley office together and sampled them all on cold brew off the side of this gnarly huge draft truck.
You know, cool. I know someone works there actually, but
yeah, we did it's pretty massive. So yeah. I think everybody, it's like a 1 in 5.
It's like a big factory. Yeah. We did that. We did the I think it was the DC one up in Huntington Beach. I think it was.
It was a Quicksilver.
Oh, the Quicksilver.
Yeah, but I mean, you might see these guys rolling around. You know, they might be down in Newport. They might be in Laguna. They might be somewhere. And if you see them pouring something off the side of a truck, it's usually the cold brew on draft. Non-alcoholic. A lot of people get confused about that. We had some people stream out of an office building like, oh, what are you guys doing? And we're like, it's coffee. And they're like, bummer. They were in.
Because, I mean, it looks like you're pouring beer. You're pouring beer off the draft the side of this van that we have that actually we use for events for craft beer festivals. And we go around to, you know, larger size companies, or we go to festivals or events or farmers markets, whatnot, and just kind of, you know, sampling to get the word out on Stumptown and get that product in people's mouths. And they see it and they're just like in awe. Cause I think you guys are the only people I see pouring coffee off a draft.
Yeah. The only ones that matter. Just kidding.
Spoken like a true marketing person.
Oh,
well
what?
Played. Well, on that note, we're running out of time. Any last words before we wrap things up for what's on tap?
The hashtag
cold
Stumptown
brew edition.
Buy Stumptown.
Hashtag.
Drink great coffee. Honestly, I'd say like know where your coffee comes from. Make sure that you're drinking high quality coffee. There are people behind that coffee that are growing these high-quality beans. You may think, like, why am I paying so much money for this coffee? But really what you're doing is supporting a lot of people that do a lot for craft and a lot of really special things to make that coffee land in your hands. And so drink high-quality coffee. Try some Stumptown next time you see us and some cold brew. And come see us at the roastery if you want a tour.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I've been having a lot of fun, and I'm slightly wired now. So,
yeah. One more thing.
Yes.
If you go to stumptowncoffee.com, you can see the process of how they pick the cherry, how they pick
the beans, the fruit that has the beans.
Exactly. It's actual
quote unquote beans.
Yeah. There's a lot of videos on there. You go under the education tab, and it'll show you how they pull it, how they peel it, and how they dry it, and it's a really cool video.
Yeah, it's I think that a lot of people don't really realize where the coffee bean comes from, so that is an educational thing. Even if you don't like coffee, it's kind of cool to see with the coffee fruit and everything. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It was
Thanks
great meeting you,
us.
Bill, Ryan, Heather, and of course Jake from Straub.
Jake in the box,
hiding in the back.
Jake in the back.
Thanks for having us. This
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
It's what's on tap on KX93.5, the Black Friday edition with black coffee from Stumptown Cold Brew.
Cheers.